who was the person that gave this man the sight? And Lord God, as we see that, when we go over into chapter 10 this evening, Father God, Jesus is the good shepherd. When we look at Jesus as being the good shepherd, we know that he's able to do all things, Father God. And we and church, we know that he's able to do remarkable things on our behalf. If we could start with verse number 1 and verse 2 and 3 of John, the 10th chapter, and it says, "Truly I say unto you, he who does not enter in the sheepfold by the door, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And John 10, 2 and 3 says, "But he enter by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by their name and lead them out." We see in these verses that Jesus is the shepherd, and his followers are the sheep. And we are the sheep of the followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you know, rejoiced with his friends. And Jesus represents, he rejoices with his friends, which is the angel, when the image of God is rejoicing and recover a lost sinner. It's a contrast with the criticism of the religious leader. And the religious leader that we are talking about would be the Jews, because they were the one that did not want to follow the Ten Commandments of Jesus. They had rules that they had set forth and reinvented for themselves so that they could follow those. But in doing that, they didn't want to follow Jesus and what Jesus was asking them to do. As we see the Good Shepherd, we look at, and I use our pastor, Pastor Freeman, as a good shepherd, and other Christian leaders who supposed to, you know, guard and protect the followers who follow on his behalf. We see Jesus is describing the sheepfold in a town. When we say sheepfold, we look at the sheepfold as an area, a specific area where if the shepherds were in the field and they brought the sheep in at the end of the evening, much at the end of the night, they would bring the sheep in and they would put them in the sheepfold, which was no more than if some of you had grown up in the country and you had a fence around either a pasture where the hogs were kept and the cows were kept. Well, the sheep were kept in a sheepfold to make sure that they were protected from predators during the night. And when the shepherd wake up the next morning and they would begin to start to move or begin to move to the next place, they would return to the sheepfold and they would call out the sheep. And the sheep would recognize the voice and they would follow him throughout the gate, which the doorkeeper would open the gate. And, you know, individual flocks in that region during that time were not thousands of animals, but they were small enough for the shepherd to know their sheep individually and even to call them by their name. Just no more than what we do. We have household animals like cats and we have like dogs and we call them by their name and they somewhat respond to it. So was the sheep. You know, they responded to their names as the shepherd would call them out. Jesus assured us that, you know, whosoever received him as their Savior and trusting him alone for insurance into the kingdom of God shall be saved. For those who trust in Jesus for salvation is not a possibility, but it is a certainty. is a certainty that guarantees, because, you know, Christ atoned, the sacrifice on the cross, on Calvary, whereby the justice of God was totally satisfied on behalf of all who accept him as Jesus Christ and his Savior. In John 10, 4, 5, and 6, there was what we call a porter as it speaks in this lesson, and the porter wasn't no more than someone that actually took care of the sheep. Other word, a higher hand. That's what a porter was called. And the porter would lead the sheep in to the sheepfold and take care of them. Well, I have a question. How do Jesus compare himself to a hired hand? Well, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And about the sheep, Jesus declared that the good shepherd, he cares for the sheep so much that he lays down his life for the sheep, and he cares that we might have life and we might have life more abundantly. And Jesus further declared that, you know, as a good shepherd, he came to offer an abundance of life to those who trust him. See, we have to trust God to know that he'll take care of us regardless of what's going on. Just like the shepherd would take their sheep to the sheepfold to be protected during the night, our pastor looks after our well-being to make sure that we are living according to what God would have us to live, and we are doing what God would have us to do. But we also got to have some trust within ourselves to know that the Ten Commandments gives us instruction how to live. And I say in my teaching, the Ten Commandments is basic instruction before leaving earth. Is that if we, it's so simple, if we would follow them and we would do the things that God asks us to do, that we will be protected as sheep of his pastures. God has given us a perfect shepherd who takes care of all of our needs. I'm reminded in scripture from David says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Regardless to what we need, regardless to what we want, the Lord is our shepherd, and he'll take care of us. He knows what we need, and he knows what we want even before we attempt to ask him for it. He knows already. What is Jesus' answer to message to the unbeliever Pharisees? Their inability to hear him shows that they didn't belong to God, and they didn't understand the things which he was speaking to them. If you read John 10 and 6, well, the Pharisees were, and you know about the Pharisees as well, so as I know about the Pharisees, is that they were people that wanted to follow their rules and their guidelines. They didn't want to listen to what God had to say to them, because every time they would come around when God was in the midst of healing someone, and he did it, they became amazed and they became somewhat puzzled and upset, because they really didn't have a relationship with God. So they became somewhat irritable, you know, about what God was doing. If we look at John 10, 7 and 9, Jesus said unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he will be saved, and I will go into in and out and find pastors. Now, as we study God's word and we continue to feast on God's word and meditate on God's word and understand God's word, we understand what he wants from us, and we understand what he would have us to do. I've heard Pastor Freeman said so many times, and I believe it, that, you know, all of us have different talents, and we are able to do different things within the church family and able to do different things within the community. So we have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. And as John 7:9 said, truly, truly, I say unto you, God is talking to all of us. The implication of Jesus' illustration was that the Jew rulers were thieves and robbers because they didn't want to do what he asked them to do. They wanted to do what he wanted them to do. And it was just so simple. Because the only thing he was asking them to do was follow the commandments. But they wanted to reinvent their own religion. And they were following a false Judaism, and they could not, you know, enter the doors of the sheepfold because they had robbed the sheepfold by misleading the people with their deceptions. And a true shepherd enters by the door into the sheepfold because he was legally owners of the sheepfold. So we, a true shepherd, knows their sheep, and he's going to do what's right. He's not going to mislead the flock. He's not going to destroy the flocks. And he's going to do what God is asking them to do. We see that Jesus is the door in which the sheep enter. And the sheep's owner are area, which is a heavenly place that God protects his children. God gives us an opportunity that we don't have to go astray when this life is over with. All we have to do is live day in and day out for God and do the things that God would ask us to do and treat people right, love people, and God will take care of us in the very end. Once the sheep have been brought into the sheep pen by night, the shepherd lays across the mouth of the cave, across the gap within the fence, so that, you know, it wouldn't be left open. And as he laid across the caves, the door caves of the caves and across the fence, he were able to realize if one was trying to leave or if someone was trying to come in and destroy the flock, that he could feel them or he could hear them as they step over him or try to step over him. See, we have to accept God as our Savior, and he protects us from the entire predator that tries to harm us. For those that try to harm us, those that talk about one another, those that love us when we're talking to them and try to stab us in our back when we turn our back. It reminds me of the Jews that, you know, they didn't want, they talk a good talk, but they didn't walk a good walk. But we have to, as sheep, we have to be saved. We have to be grounded and rooted in God's word. And how do we, preacher, how do we get to be grounded and rooted? We have to study God's word day in and day out. We have to meditate on God's word, and we have to use God's word day in and day out. to make sure we are doing what he would have us to do. How are we to be fed? We are to be fed by God's word, the bread of life. If we read God's word and we study God's word and we feast on God's word and we treat people right and we help those that are less fortunate than we are, then God is going to continuously bless us. John 10 and 11 says that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that they may have life and that they may have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So God didn't love us so much that he allowed us, that he gave his only begotten son, that we too may have the right to the tree of life. Thieves come to steal, kill, and destroy, and the thief is no more than the devil. Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross, the abundance of life, for Jesus did not come to the earth to lay down his life to give people a bigger house, a newer car, a nicer house, a newer car. But he came to pay the sin debt for our sin and to grant us everlasting life. The hurler, or the hired hand, was no more than someone that was hired to take on a responsibility. Well, you say, well, the hired hand was taking on a responsibility. Well, what were they supposed to do? Well, their main goals and objective was to get paid for what they were doing and do very little at doing what they were asked to do. And he wasn't concerned about the sheep. And we have to realize that some people are not concerned about your well-being when it comes to you worshiping God. But he was more of a self-interest type of individual. Remind me of the Jews. He was really worried about what he could get out of the picture rather than do what he was asked to do. I'm reminded of the leaders of Israel who claimed to care about the people, but really only was interested in protecting themselves, their position, and their power. If you read Ezekiel 34:1-10, when God talked to the shepherd of Israel, and he talked about the shepherd not protecting the sheep, and that the sheep wandered through the entire mountain upon the hills, and they were scattered. As Pastor Freeman protects his sheep, and he gives us a word from the Lord, that word is to keep us grounded and keep us rooted so that when things come after us or come to us that may possibly harm us, we have a word that we can feast on that would allow us to be rooted and grounded in God's word. Again, God is the true shepherd, is the good shepherd. God is using the word "no" very strongly. In verse 14 and 15, you'll see it. He used the word, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I know them on my own. The word "no," that means that he had an intimate relationship with Jesus, the Christ. He had an intimate, that we have an intimate relationship with God, and he loves us, and he's knowledgeable about all of us. And as God the Father loved Jesus, Jesus loved the Father, and Jesus loved his sheep, and his sheep loved him. His love for the sheep through his sacrifice. Greater love no one than this, than to lay down their one's life for his friend, John 15 and 13. Jesus talks about other sheep. He talks about the sheep that does not know and does not follow his commandments, and they are not of the fold. That means if you don't know God for your personal in your life as your personal Savior, and you don't adhere to the guidelines that he sets forth for us and the things he has set forth for us to go by, then we are not of his fold. If we had not accept him as our personal Savior, then we not of the fold. Shepherds, the shepherd know the voice of the sheep, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, in that he can recognize them and he's able to follow the instruction that's given to him by the shepherd. You know, no one took God's life. God laid down his life for us that we may have the right to the tree of life. And I'm reminded that, you know, God laid down his life, but he got up on that third day morning with all power in his hand. And I'm glad, so glad about it. We see that the division among the Jews, because many of them said that, you know, that God was a demon and he was mad. And why do you listen to him? And others said that this is not the word of one who is a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind person? Can the demon heal someone that was sick? Can the demon raise somebody that was raised from that was dead and he raised them from being dead? No. It's the man called Jesus that's able to do those things. When you look at John 22 and 23, the feast of the dedication of Jerusalem, the feast and dedication of Jerusalem was a feast to celebrate the rededication of the temple of Jerusalem in 164 BC after the Jewish victory over the Syria allegedly occupied, which Syria allegedly occupied. But when you look at John 10 and 24, the Jews ask, how long will you keep me in doubt? If you are Christ, plainly tell us plainly. And he spoke so plainly the last time that they squared off that Jesus said, they took stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and he was able to slip away from the temple when he was there in the temple at the dedication of the festival. And they wanted to make sure that Jesus didn't get away the next time that they came in contact with him. But Jesus, you can't ham Jesus up, and you can't box Jesus in, because Jesus has all power. I told you, you don't believe me, and you don't not believe me because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. So he mentioned it previously that they were not of the fold, and that they didn't believe him, so he wanted to reemphasize that I've told you one time already, but you know what? You didn't understand it, so you ask again. So I'm going to tell you again that you are not of the fold. He told them plainly again, and once you become a Christian, who can snatch you away from Jesus? Nobody. What about those people who gives up on Christianity and choose other religion or become an atheist? I'm so glad you asked. There really wasn't a Christian to begin with. Now, when you look at John 30, 42 through 42, and 34 through 36, and 37 through 38, and 39 through 42, and it talks about I and the Father are one, and you're being a man makes yourself God. John 10 and 30, Jesus' declaration, and he said that I and my Father is one, which claims equal status with the Father, with God the Father. The Jews were changed against him, justified. No, Jesus isn't a man who is making himself God. He is God declaring his deity. Jesus is saying he walked, he talked, his actions support his claim of deity, which they should believe. They tried to seize him, but he went forth out of their hand, letting them know that God is able to do all things. Five things I would like for you to take away from this chapter 10, is that God knows us as his sheep. That God knows our voice because we develop an intimate relationship with him. God knows what we are dealing with, and his love will cover us. Let us continue to feast on God's word and give him all the praise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who died on the cross, that we too may have the right to the tree of life. And God died on the cross for our lives, but he also paid the sin debt. All that we do, all that we say, and the way that we live is just only a down payment on the sin debt that God took care for us. I pray as we continue to go through this challenging period and we continue to give God all the praise and the glory, and don't worry about or look at how bad things are. Just look at God and understand that God already knows about it, but we just have to trust him and he will truly work it out on our behalf. I pray that I've said something this afternoon that you could receive and feast on the rest of the week, and continue to be safe and continue to help somebody else along the way, and continue to put God first in all that you do, that God may get the glory and the praise from what you do. May we bow our heads. Most gracious Father, we thank you for this word, Father God, and you are the good shepherd, Father God. We pray that you will continue to be the good shepherd in all of our lives, Father God, and that we can continue to go to you for what we need, Father God. We count it all joy, Father God. Never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. Allow us to keep our hands in your hands, Father God. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week, rest of the week, and a good night. God bless you.